Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson-Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny System comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny System with code PERFECTMANNY20 at oliveandjune.com/PERFECTMANNY20. That's code PERFECTMANNY20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/PERFECTMANNY20.
Sandwich! Come! Now, the key word there, so come is the command, and supposedly, when you say it very confidently, bang, he's like a bullet, he comes shooting over. Sandwich! Come!
This week on Walking the Dog, Ray and I went for a walk in London's Hackney with TV presenter and Big Brother host Will Best and his beautiful Tibetan Terrier, Sandwich. Will and Sandwich made quite the stylish pair when they strolled over to greet us. And Sandwich, just FYI, has one of the best hairdos I've ever seen on any canine or human being. So, full disclosure, as one of the most die-hard Big Brother fans in existence, I was dying to chat to Will about what it was actually like getting to host it and find out as much intel as possible about the brand new series of Celebrity Big Brother. And boy, did he deliver on both those fronts. But I was also keen to find out about his early start in life and some of the jobs he did before breaking into showbiz, which, by the way, included being one of those impossibly cool people employed to basically look fabulous in Abercrombie and Fitch, which he told me some truly hilarious tales about. And also how he dealt with the pressure of taking on the hosting duties for such an iconic show. Will also has a very impressive side hustle as the co-owner of a Bloody Mary cocktails company called Bloody Drinks. So I was fascinated to find out more about this very entrepreneurial spirit of his. I have to say, Ray and I absolutely loved Will and Sandwich. They were a joy to spend an afternoon with, and we will be watching him avidly on the brand new series of Celebrity Big Brother, along with his co-host, AJ Odudu. It kicked off last night, and you can catch it every night, excluding Saturdays. Guys got to have a day off, for heaven's sake, at 9 p.m. on ITV1 or, of course, ITVX. Really hope you enjoy our chat. Let's hand over to him now. Here's Will and Sandwich and Ray Ray.
We've both got dogs that when they are lying down, I imagine it's the same with Raymond. It's hard to work out which end is which.
Do you get people saying that to you a lot, Will?
Yeah. I post pictures and stuff on my... I mean, my Instagram is exclusively Sandwich in terms of Insta stories.
Yeah.
And mainly it's people saying which end, where's his head? He doesn't have a head. Can I take a picture of Raymond for my fiance? Because...
Can I take a picture of you with Raymond?
Yeah.
Look at the prince and Will, the two princes.
He's a prince. You're a prince. It's funny that you refer to him as a prince because we refer to Sandwich as a princess.
Can I just establish, because gender's important.
Yeah, Sandwich is a boy.
Okay.
But we refer to him as a princess.
In the sort of, my parents worked in the theatre, so in the way that my parents' friends like would say, oh, she's having one of her moments.
No, he's not a diva. It's more just, I just think it's fun to refer to him as a princess. Susan Sparkles, we call him quite a lot. That's one of his main nicknames. Oh. Or just Susan. Smoosh Smoosh, that's very common.
Raymond!
Pup Pup!
Which way should we go, Will?
Should we go, there's a path that runs round the outside.
Oh.
Oh, hang on. First poo of the day.
Yeah, I know, but I was in a rush this morning, Will. I didn't get a chance
to get... I was in the first poo of the day. Sandwich, he doesn't poo at lunchtime.
Oh, hang on. Raymond's done what I call a very Raymond thing.
He's a phantom poo.
He's done a poo, but look, he leaves a trail.
Oh.
Come on, Raymond, I'm going to pick up your trail of shit. It's like follow the yellow brick road, except it smells.
Follow the brown brick road.
It was interesting. I think Raymond likes Sandwich because they're similar looking.
Yeah.
Like, different scales, obviously.
Sandwich is stealing someone's ball. Oh, no, hang on. Sandwich is off. Sandwich! That's not your ball.
Will, do you know what I like? You've got such a beautiful, I think the word is mellifluous, but you've got such a beautiful, rich, born to broadcast voice. And so when I hear you hearing sandwich, it makes me laugh.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it carries, and it means that people think I'm mad because I'm just shouting for sandwiches all the time.
Well, what's happened here?
He's stolen someone else's ball. Oh, no, pup, sandwich. Wait, sandwich, wait, good boy. What's Raymond's recall like? Sandwich, come on this way, pup. We've got to distract him with a
stick.
Well,
it's funny you should say that, Will.
I mean, it is a bit like herding cats with these two dogs. Sandwich! No. Pup. We're never going to be standing next to each other. Oh, you can pick yours up. I think I, like, call him too much. You know, I overuse his name probably in the park.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, maybe. They say that you're supposed to not, but I quite want him to sort of be near us.
I do as well, because I love Sandwich.
Yeah. He's just having more fun over there with... Oh, he's nicked the ball again.
Do you know, he's becoming a nuisance.
Oh, no, that lady's actually getting annoyed. Sandwich, come here.
Come on, Sandwich, yay. So what's happening now is that Sandwich is frolicking with the other dogs, looking like something out of a Disney movie with all this beautiful hair.
Yeah.
And Raymond is being carried like the spoiled, wealthy child.
So Raymond is the dog that my fiancée wanted, basically. When she wanted to get a dog... It was always going to be called Sandwich. She was saying for about 2 years before we actually got a dog, she was saying, when's Sandwich coming? When are we getting Sandwich? Before we knew what breed or anything. But what she really wanted was a Shih Tzu, because she grew up with Shih Tzus.
Did she? She would love Raymond.
She would love Raymond. But is Raymond... Raymond's quite small for a Shih Tzu, isn't he?
Raymond is... I think you'll find Raymond is an imperial Shih Tzu.
Oh, of course he is. Hence the prince. He's an imperious little... He does have an incredible little face.
He's got to have been here before quality.
Because of reincarnation. Well, they're Buddhists, aren't they?
This is what I think, because they're Tibetan.
Yeah, they're part Tibetan of the same... Because Sandwich is a Tibetan terrier.
No wonder they love each other.
So you've got... Because it basically goes up in order of size. So you have Shih Tzus, then you've got the Lhasa Apso's, then you've got the Tibetan terriers, and then you've got the Tibetan Mastiffs. And they're all part of the same gang.
And why did you opt for a Tibetan Terrier, you and your other half?
Well, because she wanted something fluffy, like a Raymond. And I'd previously had a rescue staff. But it was a Staffy Whippet cross.
They're lovely
and
dog
I
staffs,
love
aren't
staffs.
Very, very affectionate.
Yeah, gorgeous. Because he was a cross, he was quite tall for a staff, he was quite big. But, you know, I wanted like dog. Do you know what I mean? No offence, Raymond, you are also a dog, but, you know, and...
I would say that Raymond is a brief gesture towards a dog.
He's dog adjacent. He's in the ballpark. He's in the same park as the dogs. But then some of her friends, when she was growing up, had Tibetans. And she was like, what about a Tibetan? And then her friends, like, put us in touch with somebody who, like, had some puppies, Tibetan puppies. Next thing you know, we're driving to Milton Keynes.
It's always Milton Keynes.
It's always Milton
And there's
Keynes.
Often a leather sofa, I find, involved.
Oh, yeah, there was three leather sofas. One of them had a plastic cover. I've added that detail, but in my head, it's got a plastic cover. I mean, Sandwich is buggered right off now.
Sandwich!
Do you know what I mean? He doesn't care.
Do you know, he's living his best life.
He just feels very... This is the third time in the park today, so he's just... Should I try and get him back over?
Yeah,
that is the point of this, isn't it? To walk around with our dogs. Sandwich! Pup! Come! Now, the key word there, so come is the control, is the command, and supposedly, when you say it very confidently, bang, he's like a bullet, he comes shooting over. Sandwich! Come! Do you want to narrate what's happening? He looked at me, he's coming! Come on, mate!
Yay!
Come on! Good boy!
Look, this is what I do, Will. This works.
Oh, that's good. The open arms.
Yay!
Come on, mate.
Sandwich, you can do it. Yay! Good boy,
Everyone's
Sandwich.
Waiting for you. And there's a stick for you. Doesn't want
good
it.
Good boy.
No, he didn't quite get into your arms. Okay, pup, we're going to walk now.
Come on, we're going to do
mate.
A bit of a
pup,
walk.
Pup, come on. Stay close. This is where the party's at, mate. Look at Raymond. Do you want me to put him on a lead?
No, it's fine. I'm only putting Raymond on a lead because Raymond treats walks rather like browsing for clothes in Zara. He just stops every second and thinks, well, maybe I'll wear that on Saturday night.
Yeah, nice, nice.
So he needs a bit of gentle encouragement.
Yeah.
Whereas Sandwich...
Sandwich is a wild animal. Do you know what I mean? He's a majestic beast on the rolling savannas.
Tibetan Terriers, Will. What's their sort of vibe, basically? Sandwich seems terribly sweet and good-natured.
He is. He's really sweet and good-natured. So I probably should have done more research before I got him, because I assumed Tibet, yeah. Monks... Buddhist,
you think he'd be like the monk?
Well, so okay, do you want to know some like Tibetan Terrier facts?
Yeah.
So in Tibet, Tibetan Terriers are sacred, and you're not allowed to buy them or sell them. They can only be gifted, because they've got such human eyes that the sort of traditional theory is that they are monks reincarnated. So I thought he's a Buddhist. But I think if he was a monk, he was a badly behaved monk.
Do you know what he was? I think he was a monk who broke bad.
Yeah. He renounced his...
Oh, listen to this music. This is fun.
This is the bit of the part where quite a lot of crack smoking in that specific spot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know
here
what?
He is. I've pretty
got,
friendly.
I've got a pretty wide French base.
Yeah. The thing is, I've got some crack on me. It's more edibles, this kind of podcast.
Come on, Sandwich.
Though. Good
so,
boy.
So, Sandwich, we've been hearing all about your history. And, Will, I want... Look, this is what happens.
You see, that's good. Raymond...
What is it?
You're right there,
what's
mate?
With your paw? Have you hurt your paw? He's hurt his paw.
I've got an injury.
What happened?
Raymond, you've only walked about 3 yards.
Did you get something in your paw, my love? Oh, I think maybe his... Lead is on funny.
Oh, yeah, he's got his leg caught through his harness.
Oh, that was Mummy's fault. I'm sorry, my love.
Oh, look, they're finally paying some attention to each other.
Oh, that was rather sweet. They got up close and personal. So, Will.
Yes.
I want to get back into the Will Best origin story.
Right.
And...
I was a Tibetan monk.
You seem pretty calm.
Yeah.
I would say my first impression of you is very calm, but... impressively self-assured.
Really?
Yeah. Is that...
Really?
Does that not feel accurate?
No, God, that's the opposite. Maybe pretending to be self-assured. I think, isn't most people... This is going to sound wanky. In our industry, doing what we do, aren't most people, like, massively insecure and they compensate by sort of performing a bit?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Is that not...
Yeah,
so... I mean, not to tie you with my own...
No, tar away, because...
Mad brush. Good boy.
Yeah, maybe it's like those close to you probably see... You kick into a mode, don't you?
Yeah.
What I mean, I want to put that in another way, because I don't want it to sound pejorative, but I think you've got a very lovely, pleasant energy already.
Wow, that's incredibly
kind. I really
kind.
Like your energy.
Oh, thank you. Well, likewise, and vice versa.
Come on, Ray. Ray, what about Sandwich?
Do you think Raymond and you have good compatible energy?
Yes, although you know what?
Would you like to be being carried around more than walking?
Ideally.
Yeah.
I think I've made him, because I think you have to acknowledge, you know, whenever people say, oh, my dog's this, my dog that.
Yeah.
And I believe, a friend of mine who's in AA once told me that the first thing you have to do when you're in a meeting is whenever you tell a story or something's happened, first thing you have to say is, what was my part in that? And I pick that up and I try and do that myself.
What, as in to
in any
accept
problem,
your own responsibility, your own accountability?
Accountability for everything. So
right.
I had a row with some. It doesn't matter what they said or did. What was my part in it? So the minute you admit that first. So with Raymond, I think, what is my part in his personality?
Right, sorry, I thought you were going to say that's something you and Raymond have in common, because Raymond is constantly saying, What accountability should I be taking for this? I've done a poo, it's on the floor.
And I think I've probably made him quite fearful.
Oh, do you reckon?
Because, yeah. I think I've made him a bit, but I also believe he was a dog, he was like a bereavement dog. I got him when I lost my sister and my parents. And you know what? Apparently, when you get dogs for that reason, dogs are so sensitive, they pick up and they sort of think, oh, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to be quiet and helpful. Mm. That's what I believe anyway,
yeah.
I like it.
Well, that's
Whereas
lovely.
Sandwich is here to cause havoc.
Sandwich, so when I was doing my research into Tibetan terrorist, which I did after we'd got him, because of my assumption he'd just be like a monk. I went on some forums, and the most common word that people on forums attributed to their Tibetan terriers was arrogant. Because they basically do what they want, you know? And they're called terrier. No, he's rolling in something. Don't do that, mate.
Raymond is being...
Oh, look!
Oh, no! Raymond, it's all right.
He wants to play.
Sandwich is playing. He's just refusing to move. I'm going to have to pick you up for a bit. Silly Billy.
Oh, Sandwich is finally on.
So let's go back to your origin story.
Yes.
You grew up... I feel like you were born in London, but then you moved to sort of Tadcaster.
Yes. Yeah, I was born in London back in the mists of time in the mid-80s. And then we moved up to Yorkshire in, like, 1989, 1990.
And why did you move to Yorkshire? Was that for your parents' work?
My dad's work, yeah.
And he worked in the charity sector,
he
didn't
did,
he?
Yeah.
So that's what...
Yes, so he worked, for this thing called the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. So he's like a world expert in, like, social housing, social policy, that kind of stuff. He's devoted his whole life to making the world a better place. And I've devoted most of mine to, like, interviewing Little Mix in a semi-ironic manner. So it's...
Because the Rowntree, presumably, because Rowntree's factory was based up there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Joseph
Rowntree... Because my mum's boyfriend, his dad had worked there, I think.
Really?
And so he would always bring us back this chocolate that we ate every Christmas. And it was sort of like they gave them to friends and family, I think. And they were sort of, you know, stuff they couldn't sell.
Oh, yeah, the broken bits.
Yeah,
we used to get boxes and boxes of broken bits, yeah. And it was my first experience of, like, media and that, because me and my sister... So my mum became friends with somebody that worked up for the factory side, which is totally separate to the actual, like, the charity. But she worked in advertising and marketing, and me and my sister would model, like... Animal bars. Do you remember animal bars back in the day? Smarties, all sorts of stuff. Got paid in chocolates.
I bet you were good models.
I was until I opened my mouth. Yeah. Not great for a chocolate brand to have a kid with, like, loads of gappy, missing yellow teeth. But I was offered. I mean, I assume I would have had to have auditioned, but I was told it was basically the job was mine. The role of the Milky Bar kid in the ads. Because I was, like, I had very light hair at the time. Sandwich, where are you going? Keep up, mate.
Sandwich, good boy. So you were off with the Milky Bar.
And I could ride a pony at the time. Grew up in the countryside. But anyway, my dad said no.
Really?
Because he thought that it would sort of turn me into a kind of precocious little twat. He didn't use those exact words, but that was always going to happen anyway, so... I may as well have just done it.
What do you think about that now, looking back on that decision?
I think it was the right decision. Imagine that. Imagine... I think I've never met a Milky Bar kid, but surely you're insufferable. You're like, eight. I'm literally the Milky Bar kid. You know, this was at the height of the Milky Bar kid...
Yeah.
Milky Bar kid mania.
Did your dad... Do you remember how he told you? Did he give you a reason
at the
time?
No, he just sort of said, no.
But he told you, turning this down.
Yeah.
Because you and I have got something in common. Well, I was a child actor, and I acted quite a bit, and then my mum turned a part down, and she never told me.
Ah.
And it was in a film called The French Lieutenant's Woman. Meryl Streep and Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
She never told me. I think it's just interesting hearing your story, that I look at your dad and I think that was quite well handled, because he said no... But he took the risk that you were going to be unhappy with that decision and said to you, you're not doing it, and took what accountability for it.
Yeah. I don't remember ever being that upset. I think at the time I probably just trusted him, you know, totally. So I was like, well, it's probably a bad idea. Also, you know, maybe he was protecting me. Maybe my mum had exaggerated it slightly. I would have had to have auditioned, and then maybe I wouldn't have got it. It was interesting when I first went into TV, because I used to work in advertising, and I quit because I was really shit at working in advertising.
You did the Nike account, didn't you?
I did. God, you're good. but I was terrible. And I hated it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do something more fun while I'm young and can. And I told my dad, look, I'm quitting. I'd already got like a first little thing lined up. So, you know, I was able to like transition and still, you know, pay my rent. I had like a part-time job lined up and my first little filming gig. So it was fine, you know, I was secure. But I remember him saying to me, you do realize you're now at the back of a very, very long queue.
Yeah.
As it, you know, I think, but maybe it's a different generational thing. I feel like with people, certainly my dad's age, there wasn't this thing of, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. That wasn't really a thing, I don't think.
It felt far less achievable.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You know, and I would imagine, where's Sandwich gone? Oh, Sandwich has made friends.
He's always making friends.
He's really friendly, isn't he?
He's just very independent. He just, good boy. If we were in a different park where he was less, that he knew less, he would stay closer. But this park, he comes here at least once a day. It's all walled in.
Do you know what you
this
sound
is like?
Like
a big garden.
You sound like a woman apologising for her boyfriend. I'm sorry, it's just these are all his mates. So he's a bit like this when his mates are around.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But when it's just us, he's actually really sweet.
He's actually got a really good sense of humour.
Yeah, yeah, you wouldn't know it.
So yeah, that's interesting about your dad, Will. I like the sound of your parents because I think anyone, I don't know, I think people who work in the charity sector I have a lot of time for. And
yeah.
I can imagine he was quite a sort of, you were raised with a strong sense of, I guess, values.
Oh, massively,
know?
Massively. Also work ethic, like he worked incredibly hard and still does. He's 80 this year. And he works he's completely full time. He does a million things. But he would always, you know, he'd never get home before like 8 at night. Well, maybe sometimes. But, you know, like that was his kind of way of being.
What were you like as a kid? I always think it's interesting to think if I was one of your friend's parents and someone said, what's little Will like? What would I say? Will is very...
What was I like? I think I was, I don't know. I think I was sort of simultaneously like quite, I don't know if it's the right word to use in relation to a kid, but I'm trying to kind of think of the sort of the contradictions. Like I was simultaneously like incredibly like stereotypical boy, like, like muddy and like loved playing football, like all the sporty boy stuff, but then also I liked dressing up as a cat or dressing up as a washerwoman or so it was like this kind of like stereotypical like boy but then also like camp little thespy boy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that and I like that combo.
And
you had a, did you say you had a sister?
Yes, I've got two, I've got a brother, older brother, and an older sister who are half, but we're super close, and then a half, and then a full sister.
Mm.
But we're all very, oh look, Sandwich is now.
Oops, sorry.
Absolutely miles away. Look, he thinks he owns the park.
Sandwich.
Pup, come.
I feel like they're playing the Black Beauty music when Sandwich runs doors.
It is. You don't see him running that much. He's not an athlete. Do you know what I mean?
Well, may I introduce you to Ray, Will?
Ray. Can Ray have one of these?
Yes.
Do you want a little bit of duck, Ray?
Do you know what? I think Ray has got the sort of attitude of, you know, in those ice skating, there are always those slightly terrifying Russian ice skating coaches on the sidelines watching everyone else be active. He's like that.
That's Ray's, yeah. Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh my goodness, good boy. Gosh, it's the Imperial in him. You can really, it really comes through.
What he'll do, Will, he'll bite it and then he'll make me break it up for him. Right, here you go.
No way. There you go, Pop.
Here you go. The ambassador's reception.
That's...
You know when Ray eats, it looks so delicate.
You're literally crumbling it into his mouth like fish food.
Well, he's not got many
teeth. Do you ever have to chew his food first yourself and then you sort of...
Now okay. You're taking the actual piss.
Would you regurgitate it straight into his mouth or onto a plate first?
Look, less of these tricky questions. I'm not one of your Celebrity Big Brother chats now, mate. Okay? Have some respect. Look, when I feed Ray, I feel like singing. You know in Disney movies when it's like the ambassador's reception? They always play like doo 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 doo.
Yeah. Yes, that is.
He's so refined.
Does he like music? Does he respond to music?
Yes.
At all?
In fact, he stays at a place called the Country Dog Hotel. If you don't know it, you're getting involved.
Where is
it's
that?
In Somerset.
Yeah, we were going to send sandwich there.
I mean,
there.
They do look after George Clooney's dog. So
really?
That's when you start.
What's
thinking,
George got? George. You know, what's George? Other than an espresso machine.
How is George?
Is that what his dogs are called? They're called Latte and.
No, they give. When the Country Dog Hotel take Ray, because I'm going to Morocco soon and they're going to have him for 4 days.
Look, it's. Sorry. Hello, Rocky.
Hello, Rocky.
Hello, Rocky.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
You're right. Hello,
yeah,
my
good.
Love.
How are you?
What beautiful dogs.
He's a lovely dog.
Lovely dogs. Hello. What is it? Is it a husky or a.
He's a husky Akita Cross.
Oh, beautiful.
So
what a
nice.
Lovely, affectionate dog.
Hello, hello. We're in. Actually, Sandwich is becoming famous.
So he's a star now.
He is a star.
Is he going to mention now because he's a dog walker, isn't he?
Chris walks Sandwich
Chris,
every day.
Are you Sandwich's dog walker?
I certainly am.
Oh.
I was hoping he was going to mention me.
We're getting round to that. But I'm trying to make it seem as though I do it all myself. Just to be more relatable.
Oh, fair enough.
I'll
just wander off.
No.
Chris, if you ever want a very easy gig, you're welcome to take my dog Raymond.
Where do you live, though?
Yeah, I'm North London.
You'd have to carry Raymond, though.
He's quite lazy.
Oh, really? Hello. What is he?
Good question.
You don't know.
I'm not really sure at this point. I think
he's got a face like a griffin, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an imperial shih tzu.
Oh.
But you know, I've never been quite convinced, and I was meant to say to you that he is entirely shih tzu. I think there's other stuff going on in there.
You people can do a DNA.
Yeah, a little 23andMe for your dog.
DNA on them, you know, you can find out what they are.
Oh, maybe we should do that. I don't want relatives getting in touch though, wanting to get some of his fortune. Chris, it's so nice to meet you.
See you later, mate.
I'll take care. See you later.
Thanks, bye mate. Bye. See you, Rocky. Come on, pup.
Come on, Will.
So, Chris, Sandwich stays with Chris when we go away, rather than Sandwich going to the
George Clooney.
Right, exactly.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive and June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny system. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails, where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code PERFECTMANNY20 at oliveandjune.com/PERFECTMANNY20. That's code PERFECTMANNY20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/PERFECTMANNY20.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Did you decide then? Did you always think, I want to perform? Or, you know, was it more a case of, I hope I can be happy and do something
more
I'm
that.
Successful at?
I think
at. It
was more that. Pup, it was, I wanted freedom, I guess. And I thought that if I could get on, you know, a telly show, then that would kind of buy me freedom.
Yes.
Because if you get profile, you can it just opens doors. The mistake I made, though, was not really doing enough social media, because that is freedom these days. Pup!
Did you end up going to university?
I did, yeah. I went to uni. I went to Manchester purely because... Good boy. Because I wanted to be involved in like the music scene in Manchester.
Mm.
So I used to organise club nights and we used to DJ around Manchester and stuff, you know, the home of the Hacienda, although by the time we got there, the Hacienda was posh flats. It's a bit less rave. I guess I always wanted to do something a bit creative in that respect. Mm. I didn't have like a burning desire to be on telly. I mean, I had done drama at school, but then I kind of stopped. I didn't do it for A-levels. I, you know, did the odd school play. I just remember watching T4 when I was at uni and sort of thinking, they're getting paid to like have a laugh and interview bands and work with comedy writers and do all that kind of stuff. So I just thought, I'll give it a go and it'll be fun. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, I can go back to being incredibly miserable at an advertising agency.
And you ended up, as you say, you work for this advertising agency. Even though, it's interesting, because presumably you were there in a creative role, were you?
No, this was the problem. I was an account manager.
Right.
So I was kind of the link between the creatives and the client. And the main criteria for that is to be incredibly organised.
And are you organised?
Oh, God, No. The reason why I thought I'd do well at that agency was they had an unofficial motto that was embrace chaos. And I was like, I'm chaos. That's my middle name. But it turned out once you actually get there, it was kind of a you're in the army now sort of moment.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't actually mean that. We want you to be incredibly efficient at responding to complicated emails from, you know, the marketing manager at Nike. So, I was terrible.
It's a horrible feeling, that, isn't it, Will? Because I've had that where I did it for a lot longer than you, actually, where I was prizing myself slightly into roles that I thought I should be doing.
Mm.
And I wondered why everyone else seemed good at this or understood what to do.
Yeah.
And I was always rubbish at it.
Well, was that because you didn't like it?
I think it was because I'm probably a bit like you, in that if you end up doing this sort of work, you probably are better suited to it. If you're creative, maybe your thoughts jump around a bit.
Yeah.
I was never suited to office life.
No.
It just didn't suit me, probably like you.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking, what's the problem with me?
Yeah.
Why can't I fit in here? And then it took me so long to realise, I wasn't that there was a problem with either of us, it was just completely the wrong kind of work for me.
Yeah, 100%.
It was always people saying, I remember there'd be people like putting headphones on going, sorry, we're trying to concentrate. Did you ever have that?
Yeah, and you're like, but I've got a really funny story, so maybe take your headphones off. yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think part of my problem was when I arrived, I didn't think it was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So then when I arrived and realised it was incredibly competitive and difficult,
yeah,
it was kind of like, ah, shit, like, I'm going to have to really apply myself to this thing that I don't care about. And that just became impossible.
Let's walk around this way, because much as I love the gentleman enjoying...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What I'm going to euphemistically refer to as cocktail hour, I think we should...
It's quite the cocktail. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you started interviewing sort of bands, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like to get practice.
Yes. So I my first job...
Oh, you worked in Abercrombie & Fitch.
I did work in Abercrombie & Fitch.
I can see you there.
I wasn't one of the people with their tops off. I was kept near the back.
In the dark
In the
shadows.
Darker areas.
So if I'd have gone in, so I'm going to go in. Hello there, I wonder if you can help me. I wanted to get this T-shirt with random LA printing
on
it.
Now I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to help you find clothes. This is true. I have to direct you to a member of our impact team who will... I'm literally paid to stand here.
Oh, are you a greeter?
Well, I'm sort of a greeter at the back. I would Bagsy being a greeter by the changing rooms. So people would come into the changing rooms and I'd say hello, and then they'd give their clothes to somebody else who would then help them. We were told we weren't allowed. I didn't know where any of the products were. You'd have somebody. It sounds terrible. The job title was model, right? Did you see the documentary about it?
Yes.
It's bad. I mean, it was a really weird place. And so they'd just have somebody in every room who was just, their job was just to stand there. And then people would come up and say, oh, like, I'm looking for jeans. You're like, ask somebody.
Did you say, I'm just a model, I don't know about that?
Ask one of, I was going to make a terrible joke.
No. We don't have to keep it in, need to know.
Just ask one of the ugly people. That's obviously a joke. Sandwich.
So Abercrombie & Fitch wasn't for you.
So Abercrombie, well, that was a means to an end. Do you know what I mean? That was very flexible work. you know, you just, the trouble is, I now, if I smell the Abercrombie and Fitch aftershave, it brings back terrible memories. And I didn't, I was an outsider. I was too old to be there. All the other staff were like 17 to 19.
Do you know what I was, love? It would like be going on like Love Island. I'd love to, I'd like to go now, like in my 50s.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hello there, I'd like to work as a model. Yeah, and yeah. See what makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot, it was like that. I don't know how I got the job. And everybody was really young and they'd all go out clubbing and not really invite me. And one day they made me dance. I had to dance. There was a podium and I had to sort of, I think the word I'd use to describe how I was dancing was I was grooving. And I think if you're grooving in Abercrombie and Fitch next to like this girl who was, you know, I was up, maybe, I think I was 23, 24 and they were all like 17. It was just, like, in my head, I'm an adult.
Oh,
and this is unbecoming. But
it's
a real tale of woe. But I needed the work.
Did you did you like how you looked? Did you feel confident? And did you look in the mirror and think, yeah, this, I can work with this?
In the context of Abercrombie?
In the context
or just
of yourself?
Of life? No. Like I mean everybody mainly sees their flaws, right? I think I just fall into that pretty standard category. I never took much stock in the way I looked because at school I was very small. Mm. Like I had a very late growth spurt. Mm. There was this kind of at my school there was this like if you were the smallest boy in this in like because the school was divided up into like you know houses or whatever and if you were the smallest boy you had to do this thing at Christmas and I had to do it 2 years in a row.
What was it?
You had to do this like do this sort of like speech thing at this Christmas in like assembly.
And what did you have to say? Sorry, apologies.
It was like a
everyone.
Sort of poem. I can't remember it exactly.
About being
it was like
small.
A poem to the yeah, yeah, about being an Oompa Loompa. It was an extract from Willy Wonka.
It's not easy being green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, you had to sing the song Short People. It was like a sort of toast to. It was this thing at assembly to the house.
But why did all the short people have to do it?
It was just the shortest boy. Had to do it, the smallest
Why?
Boy. I don't know, it's a tradition. But you're right, these are the questions I should have been asking. I just did it. I was just like, all right. But I had to do it 2 years in a row. I don't know if anyone had ever had to do that. So I was I don't know if I've necessarily bloomed now, but I was definitely a late, what you might call a late bloomer.
Yes.
You know, I didn't, I wasn't like, you know, fending off
I think
female
that's good.
Attention. And
Were
like,
you not?
Well, I never have, but it, like, you know, until very much towards the very end of school before yeah. I sort of, yeah. So I never really thought in those terms, you know what I mean? I think that's probably why I was more interested in like being silly. You
that's
know?
Probably
You've
why
You've
got to
have
nicer.
A thing, haven't you? My thing wasn't sexy guy.
Right.
It definitely wasn't that.
What was your thing then?
Silly guy.
Was it?
Maybe more that, yeah. Yeah. I wanted it to be sports guy, but I was not good at sport.
Right.
But in my head, I thought, one day, if I keep plugging away, it's England all the way for me. Any sport. Oh. You know, maybe the Olympics. I liked trying to throw a javelin. Just couldn't make it go far enough.
Well, not while you were still doing that play every
Well,
year.
I was too small. Yeah, exactly. I was throwing knitting needles.
So,
all right, mate.
You ended up eventually going into TV because presumably
yeah.
Did you send that a showreel you'd done off to
I
an
did,
agent?
I did, yes. Sorry, I feel like I'm telling that. I'm not really telling the story, am I? I'm just waiting for
this
the prompt.
This is the whole point
yeah.
of it, is that I love this because this is what walks are like.
Yeah.
When you're talking to friends, you don't sit there and read the Gettysburg Address of your Wikipedia entry, do you?
No,
you're just
no.
like, oh yeah, no. I did that. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
But,
this
but
is
when
my dream.
I'm sitting with friends, whoever is the smallest has to do a very brief recital.
I just want to say it's time for my yearly speech
yeah.
about how small I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I haven't grown this year.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
What the fuck is this
year? It was bizarre. It was bizarre. But
and you've just normalised this.
I know. Well, because otherwise it's going to eat me up. Now I haven't. I'm going to have to. I've just finished a round of therapy. I'm going to have to go back.
So you sent the showreel off to
an agent? So I sent the showreel off, and I'd kind of interviewed bands and stuff, like, for the internet. And I sent the showreel off to an agent, and I guess I had... Do you remember Justin Bieber's hair in, like, 2012?
Yeah.
When he... Was it 2012 when he first came out?
Yeah.
So I'd had that hair for a while. But like, in a sort of... It was, like, indie hair.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, the big fringe, a sort of... If we're putting it in Big Brother terms, because obviously, Frankie Kokoza.
Got it, Mom.
You know what I mean? That was my haircut. And I think at the time, the directive from the powers that be controlling the television industry was people with hair like Frankie Kokoza. So I think that's how I got an agent. And then they sent me to a screen test at MTV. And I walked in and they said, Frankie Kokoza? I was like, no, it's Will, same hair though. And they gave me a job. I think that was basically...
You see, I find that interesting because it's funny, but it's also quite Will, I think, which is, I think you slightly undercut your achievements.
No, but
you don't want to seem arrogant.
Well,
I think that's what you're like.
I think that you, the one thing I've learned in this, like, in sort of working in telly-ish for...
A long time
14
now.
Years, yeah. Is it's, like, mainly luck.
Do you think so, Will?
I think so. I think you make your own luck by just not, like, giving up and just kind of staying in it. You know, I've got friends who are much more talented than me who worked in the industry for a bit and then kind of, you know, ended up doing other things in the end and sort of drifted away. And
yeah.
Whereas I just kind of stuck at it. You know, I had some very lean years where I was, like, racking up very significant debt.
Did you?
But I just sort of stuck at it. And I was trying to start businesses at the same time and keep busy outside of TV. So it was always kind of that feeling of, like, well, maybe next year, Rodney. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was always the vibe.
Some people end up having incredibly successful careers and when they talk about it, it's, well, I made my own luck.
Yeah, but that's bullshit. I mean, even
why don't you?
But even
that's,
like,
what they would say.
Yeah, but that's
you're
just
not
nonsense.
Living your life like me.
But even if it's like, even like, no one's made their own luck, right? Like, okay, so Lee Mack is, like, clearly the nicest guy in the world. I've never met him. His brain works on a different level to, like, the speed of thought,
yeah,
that where he can just come up with things and put jokes. That's luck.
Yeah.
He happened to be born, and that's not to take anything away from him. He's a comic
and
genius.
It's almost like it's luck, but he's done something.
He's done something with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's done something. You're right, with something he had anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like he was, you know, rubbish at comedy, and then somehow. I mean, I'm sure he would. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of oversimplifying, but do you know what I mean?
I think
everything really comes down to luck, that you had the environment you did, you grew up in the place that you did, you had the impetus you did, you know, all the external factors
that
drove you into a certain thing, and then...
Yeah, that's interesting, though. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think it's a more... And I'm not asking you to declare your politics here, but it's a more sort of left-wing perspective on life, or it's a more egalitarian, I suppose, perspective on life, because it's saying...
Well,
you know, it's your chances... often have a bearing on what happens to you in life.
Yes.
It's not this idea that, well, it's that we're all born with the same, you know, advantages. It's up to you what you make of it.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody has their own innate set of skills. I guess, you know, the work you can do on yourself is in understanding what those are and then applying a certain work ethic. But we're all just working with what we were lucky enough to be born with, whatever that is.
I really hope you loved part one of this week's Walking the Dog. If you want to hear the second part of our chat, it'll be out on Thursday. So whatever you do, don't miss it. And remember to subscribe so you can join us on our walks every week.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.